We come together before God and heard the things that we just said, our pastor, especially through the church, and chapter 6, 7, 8, 4, 3, and our truth today. But no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. The grapes are not scattered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes in a ramble book. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart is not speech. And the evil thing is good. I thank you that once again you have gathered us together before you. And especially now that you have gathered us together before your word. Thank you for the privilege that you gave to us. You have inspired, preserved, and divided your word to us. Great purpose. Amen. We pray, Father, that as we come to what may be a familiar passage, that we may not see the good thing, but to make new beginnings. On the level, which we saw on the plane, which you can see is probably the level area there, which is on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is keeping the same on the level in which he is leveling with his disciples, bottom line, in what it means to be his disciple. Okay. So, disciple here is someone who is what? To be mentored, to so closely follow the teaching of the teacher, to at the mind and at the heart level, in the man of life, to be the king, to be the teacher. It's a good picture of this determined that we can draw to what we are going to follow,
and it's calling it sustainable when they're left. The only thing that you need to do all things after the physical and people. You're telling your and all that to save the quality Sometimes it's hard for us to know up front where the scriptures are coming from, even in the church. That ultimately, everybody lives by what they actually believe in their heart. The person's actions, their words, their attitudes, their fruit is an unfailing indication of the state of one's heart towards God. Can I get on that? Okay. That raises some really interesting questions for us, doesn't it? The first thing, a couple of suggestions, because these are questions that come up with this. First, what does Jesus mean by fruit? I mean, what kind of fruit are we actually looking for? Matthew records Jesus' teaching on the same thing, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus warns his disciples that the religious leaders are like ravenous wolves disguised as sheep. Wolves in sheep's clothing, right? Quick cartoon. It is not weird when a wolf in sheep's clothing happens across the sheep in wolf in sheep's clothing clothing. The people, Jesus is saying, they came to the religious leaders of the day, as people are coming today, right? And they came to the Pharisees, and they came to others, they came to the rabbis, and they came with this desire for God. We want to know God. We want to be right with God. We want to go through life following after God. We want to be blessed by God. And what they got from the religious leadership, the world that he told them, that Jesus described them, that what they got was obligation and regulation and condemnation for failure, failure to live up to the standards of righteousness of the Pharisees, the people that they were trying to follow. What they didn't get was what moved them closer to God and to his kingdom. The cycling back up into what Jesus has been teaching, what we've been studying through, these two perspectives on ways of doing life and who to follow through to all that, that pulling what Jesus has been teaching into what Jesus is talking about here about fruit. The Pharisees claim to be God's spokesmen, godly leaders, good trees. And if they hated their enemies instead of loving them as God chooses to love us. They cursed others rather than blessing them and praying for them. They demanded justice on their terms rather than trusting God for his justice. And Jesus, he called out the Pharisees. He called them out as legalists. They're living their version of the Mosaic law. They hypocritically took on the role of God and judge and condemned others that failed up to live up to their self-imposed standards of righteousness rather than being generous with love and grace and mercy. God is so generous with his love and grace and mercy towards us. Really, talking back up to the relationship with the cross, Jesus called them out as blind leaders, blind to their own sin, blind to their own hypocrisy. Jesus says, choose to follow me if you want. And then he's right into the pit. That's it. It is the things the Pharisees produced in their teaching and their actions and words and attitudes produced fruit that demonstrated that they themselves are not just fruit in their relationship with God. They have a long perspective in mind with God. People came to the Pharisees and they were looking to steal the free energy of the truth of God. Literally, God's people were starving for this truth in order to steal God's truth. Cycling back up, same passages, what is Jesus been teaching? Pulling that into what Jesus is teaching about truth, the contrast. What does really this truth look like? It's the complete opposite of that. What the Pharisees are doing, look at the opposite of it. It's seeing someone who loves their enemies. That's the truth. Someone who loves their enemies. Who gradually does good to those who hate them. Who blesses those, prays for them. Blesses those that curse them, praises for their abusers. When they're sinning, or they're ripped off, they step down to deal with it. This fruit is seen as telling the difference between others to live up to this standard of righteousness and condemn others when they fall short of that. But it's loving and gracious and merciful and forgiving and gracious. It is God is so abundantly overflowing with love and with grace and with mercy and with forgiveness towards us. And we need example of attitude. Right? Look at how Jesus loves his family. Look at how Jesus loves us and is gracious and merciful towards us. When we are in our failure and our sin, and Jesus who is God, something follows you.
speaks to his people, to his prophet Jeremiah. And he says this, he says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. You hear the direction of God's freedom now? His heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert. He shall not see any good come. Know the truth. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed, contrast. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. His trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that stays out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes. You know, heat will say, right? For its leaves remain green. And it's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The man or woman, take it down, the man or woman whose heart level trusting in God, rooted in God, by faith, resting in God, or God has done for us through Christ, who's rooted in God, reaching out towards God, drawing the very essence and substance of his life from God, that man or woman is blessed by God, and is consistently going to produce through his fruit, regardless of what's going on around us. The drama that is crossing through the world of you. You get that? He, the fuel, the treasury of our hearts, the crucial importance of what we're tapped into. We're what goes into our heart. Where does that come from? God, in the blessed record of this world perspective, is coming from someplace else. What are the justice of truth our roots into? Paul wrote to the Galatians. The work of the Father. The work comes out of us, and we're trusting in ourselves, and we're focused on the world, and we're turned on the world, and the philosophy of the world. Just to remind us, sexual immorality, and sincerity, sexuality, idolatry, sorcery, envy, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, security, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and bureaucracy. Really, that's true. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that belong. And those belong to Christ Jesus. But justify the Christ that is passing through you. What is the word of the Christ? It's a high-level contrast between someone living for themselves, following after the philosophies in the world of man, contrasting the truth, dying to themselves, dying to the passions of our desires, of our flesh, is driven by the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Thank you. 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 I mean, I just want to speak to this one. Jesus met with the 11 remaining disciples there, right? And he told his disciples this, that I am the vine. Heard this? I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is the one. Here's my truth. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, no fruit. No fruit for you, anyway. And to abide in Jesus, it means more than Jesus is just like some sort of gas station. Right? When we come in once a week, we get filled up spiritually, and then we go on for a week doing whatever, however that works out. To abide means more than just we're hanging out with Jesus. Doing all the good things of being a Christian that are good, but to be more about doing those things and about us than actually abiding in Jesus. To abide, it is about relationship. It's about being connected. It's about being inseparably connected. It's about remaining connected to Jesus. So in a parched land like today in Merced, our roots are longing for the life that He gives and that He gives. His lifeblood is flowing into us, is filling our treasury, and it's flowing out of us and the words and the actions and the attitudes and it's producing fruit, spiritual fruit produced by the Spirit. Not great powers, but Jesus' fruit. Because the roots of our lives remain in Him. Which, as Jesus is teaching, it's the bottom line of being a disciple. This is where he's been going in this message, right? Jesus is from people to be a disciple means that we stop coming to God with our expectations of God and our definition of what it means to be all in with God, and we simply come. Agreeing with God. We got nothing. Nothing but our sin and our brokenness and our depravity that we come to God with. That we are spiritually impoverished and desperate for what God offers us in Christ Jesus. By grace alone, through faith alone, Christ alone. This requires a level of vulnerability and openness that I would suspect if we took a poll, most of us would struggle with that. But it's the beginning point. The heart level opening to God and being a disciple of Jesus is Jesus is calling us to be his disciples. And it's the beginning point of abiding in Jesus, it's the beginning point of a heart that bears good fruit. There are significant implications in that for us. First, we need to be fruit testers. Test the fruit. Test the fruit. Three suggestions. How do we evaluate fruit? All right, let's come out of people. First, scripture. Is what they're saying true? God's word is truth, right? So compare what they're saying, what's coming out of their mouths, comparing what they're saying to God's word, compare it to the Bible. Someone could have the quickest presentation with amazing insights. Have all kinds of marvelous and interesting perspectives to share at a Bible study, or they're blogging it, there's something they're posting on it. But is what they're saying, is it really in the Bible? Is it really there? Does it square with God's Word? Is what they're teaching, is that actually in line with what we've already been taught and what we know? This is true. Do you know what God's Word is really teaching? Check their fruit with scripture. Second, check their lifestyle. Do they walk the talk? Check the lifestyle. Are they one kind of person at church and another kind of person on Facebook? What are they posting? What are they plotting? What are they tweeting? Are they really good at putting together that image that's just here when they're at church and out there? They're just, people know them as something different. Do they mistreat their family? They're taking advantage of people. Are they stealing stuff, money, stuff? Is their vocabulary consistent? Is the standard of morality consistent? Consistent with God? What do they talk about? What are they involved in? What are they engaged in? What are the priorities of their life? Look at their lifestyle. Do they walk the talk? Third suggestion for evaluation follows. Look at the people that are following them. What happens in their lives? What do disciples look like? Where are they going in life? What is that like? You know, as a result of following these people, are they growing spiritually? Are the followers loving Jesus more deeply? Are they growing closer to Him? Are they leading others to Him? Are they living lives that glorify God? Or are they moving away from God and His Word and becoming lukewarm in their faith? Becoming more dependent on their teacher, maybe. More recruited. So evaluation. Let's use scripture. We can use lifestyle. We can look at what the teaching is leading others. It's a great teaching from Jesus. Pay attention to their fruit. According to Jesus, that should give us a really good idea of where they're at this time. Right. So that's the second significant implication for us. Test our heart. Test our heart. Now, our treasure, what we value, what spiritually is flowing into and out of us is producing fruit. Maybe you've heard this, right? A young man and his wife, they Absalom even goes to divide it to his grandfather. And the grandfather went out and drove off, and there's a couple of goes back into the house, and they flip on the news, and they see that there's this reckless driver that's going the wrong way in the freeway, that they know the grandfather is going to be prison. And so the young man calls the grandfather on his cell phone, which is not maybe a great news, but they're really deeply concerned about the grandfather. And the young man tells his grandfather, be careful, I heard the news someone's going the wrong way on the freeway. And the grandfather replies, yes, and I'm scared to death. It's not one car going the wrong way, but all of them. It's that process, right? Thank you for the obligatory laugh. Soft diagnosis of our heart can be helpful, but potentially dangerous. So we can look at our lives and we need to evaluate. Are we really reading and animating God's Word or not? What are our times of prayer with God like or not? Whether we're gathering for worship and doing with God's people, is that a priority or not? What does our stewardship and service look like? We can look at the people we're mentoring and see how God is using us in their lives, what that looks like. And it's a spirit that can help us diagnose where our hearts are at. But we need to be careful. Testing our hearts doesn't mean relying on our own self-diagnosis. And we can easily think we're doing good. Now, we're just coming down the highway with God, leading in the right direction, but we can be in serious trouble. God spoke again to Jeremiah. He said this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. Give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. So we need God to do the searching and diagnosis of our heart. Example of that. Listen to David, man, crying out to God. He's laying out this example for us of how to go there with God. Can you read this? Okay, I got trifocals. Okay, I got to ask the question. Let's read the prayers of David. And listen to David's heart as we read these together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Who came to God? We need this. Let's try the next one. Hide your face from my sins. But you basically mean, God, don't look at my sins. Okay? They're ugly. Next one. And blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your words in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You cracking the David on that? That's inviting God into our hearts. God, you need to test our hearts. Really, really are. God, I'm coming to you. Jesus is leading his disciples. I'm coming to you with brokenness and sin. God, do what you will. Don't leave it to me. Just do it. Seize control of my life. Clean me up. Clean me out. Produce the fruit in me. May my life be all yours and to you and to your glory. This is the beginning point of being all in heart level disciple of Jesus. The beginning point of the fruit being produced through us. To the fruit and to see you. Last, really, three thoughts. Okay, don't blink. God wants to shape our character. He wants you to do this, to produce in us the truth of his power and love and grace and mercy and forgiveness that will transform our homes and our workplaces and our communities and our schools. The desire to flow through us as godly men and women to produce the most valuable good fruit to eternally impact, the body again and women who can bring salvation to the church. Father, thank you for this teaching by Jesus. And so appreciate the way Jesus uses it very simple things. And some of it is very well done, but very complicated. But God, he's really compelling. Fruit coming out of the heart. It says a lot about the people that we run across. It says a lot about us. And Father, I think we all, I'm speaking for myself and others here, we want to be followers of Jesus. We want to see good fruit produced in us and through us. We want to be used by you for your glory. Father, you've laid out for us a choice. And we choose to take two different directions and where they go. And the end is constant. So we struggle at the heart of it. And while we see the teaching and the simplicity that we present to us, the simplicity is also extremely difficult. And so, Father, we come to you as those that are using this way too easy on ourselves. And sometimes we give ourselves way too much freeway in a bio on what goes on really inside of us. And we pray, God, we cry out as babies cried out, God, create in us a clean heart. Do your work in us. Transform us. God, we want what's inside of us, we treasure you to hold your soul. That is drawn as we abide in Christ. And send you your name. Father, please choose. And don't leave it to us, it's true. When we hear Father, then get the glory and the honor for the peace of our cities. Because you are number one, and you are free. Thank you. Peace be with you.